Okay, let's go to the Lord one more time. Father, thank you now that we can come and open your word and Lord, just bless our hearts with the word that your spirit gives to each one of us. Lord, as we start this new year, Lord, I just pray that we will not keep going back to the old ways, Lord, even though sometimes we feel the most comfortable that way, but we will boldly step out in the more ancient ways, your ways. Father, your ways that lead us through this path of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you, Father. We ask that you remove me from this and just let your word speak for itself. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I know this is the second Sunday in January, but I had planned to preach this last Sunday. But last Sunday came and last Sunday went. And all of us stayed home and enjoyed the day, but it was the right call to make. But now we're going to get back to business. Okay. Now, I have used this example before, but I wanted to use it again because it fits this message. How many of y'all have ever seen an old barn out in the middle of nowhere with a giant sign on it that said, "See Rock City"? How many of y'all seen that? Amen. It's really common back where I'm from. But I'm going to tell you, in Rock City, which is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they have another attraction that they call Ruby Falls. How many of y'all have been there? Several of you. Okay, then you can back me up on this. What they do is when you get there, okay, after you see, you know, you get up and you climb Lookout Mountain and you see the seven states or however many states you can see from there, they take you through a dimly lit pathway. Now, you've got some caves here in Missouri, and they put you in a Jeep. Ain't no Jeep in Ruby Falls. You got to walk. And you walk along these well-worn paths, and you see the stalagmites and the stalactites and, you know, the cellulites, whatever they got hanging from the roof. And you see all these dangerous-looking rock formations. That's common in caves. I'm not a spelunker. That's not a bad word, by the way. I'm not a person who travels in caves much. But I have been in darkness. I've been in a steel tube at the bottom of the ocean with no lights. That's dark, folks. And it's the same kind of darkness you experience in the cave at Ruby Falls. Well, eventually, after you follow this path of dimly lit light bulbs and a rope, you go into this big chamber. And the only way you can tell it's a big chamber is you hear a great amount of rushing water and you can feel the mist on your face. And that's when they turn all the lights off. That air is being pushed in past you. You know there's something ahead of you. It's incredible sounding, but it's pitch black. Total darkness far below the surface of the earth. You are inside the mountain. And it's a dizzying experience. Darkness accompanied by a cacophony of noise. There's my $5 seminary word for the day, cacophony. Y'all mark that down. You can't tell which way the sound is coming, but you, again, feel the mist, you feel the air, you know something is there and there is danger ahead if you're not careful. Well, life is like that for many people. They know they should do something, but they can't see which way to go. And sometimes what is worse is they won't see which way they should go. They hear all kind of noise from the world, from their own flesh, what we would know as the devil, the enemy of our souls, and any number of other influences. They can feel something pull at them. Much like you're standing in the dark at the beginning of that great chamber in Ruby Falls and you feel something pulling you forward. The air pressure is moving you. The water's drawing you. But you can't see anything. You can't see anything. Brothers and sisters, it is our job, and let us be renewed in this new year, to act on our privilege as disciples of Jesus Christ to reflect the light of the world so that others may live. Folks, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in the darkness, the pitch black of our own sin, where we couldn't even see our own sin, yet He died for us. He saved us. He shone His light into the world. But the world did not comprehend it because the world loves darkness. They want to stay hidden. They want to stay where people can't see what they're doing so that they won't feel guilty about what they know is right and wrong. God puts in every person born the knowledge of right and wrong. You have no excuse. Read Romans 1. God reveals the truth even in the very universe that is around us. What is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong. Best example I can give, and I've said it 1,000 times and I'll keep preaching it to the day I die. You do not have to teach a child to do something stupid. Whether that child is 3 or that child is 33. Because there are a lot of people that are adult by age, but infants by intellect and wisdom. How are they going to see? It is our job to reflect the light of Christ to the world, to our loved ones, to those who are about to step over the edge into that pit where the world's water is crashing all around them. Folks, inside that cave, where that water's falling down, the pit goes on for about 1.5 miles down into the crevices, into an underground river before it comes out at the bottom of the mountain into the Tennessee River. And that's the way the world is. The darkness is right there, and we're right at the edge. We're right at the edge as sinners, and any breath that we miss will plunge us into that pit. But you see, the church, the body of Christ, Christians, we must reflect the light of Christ in such a way, in love, in mercy, in forgiveness, in everything that God calls us to be, but still reflect the light. Will we reflect it perfectly? No. But if we reflect Christ, it is Christ who is perfect, not us. Folks, I've lived long enough now to tell you, if things are left up to me, I goof them up quite a bit. And we all can say that. And the fact of our very imperfectness, our very sinfulness, means that we need a Savior, and that Savior is perfect, the light of the world. Let's go to our text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This is Paul speaking, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we, Paul's talking about him and his evangelistic cohort there, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now he's broadening that to all the Christians that he's speaking to, including us today. Verse 2. Well, let me repeat that first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What Paul is saying, we got a ministry. We're not going to live like the world does. We're not going to be crafty and dishonest and using the word to get our way. We're not going to be deceitful. We're going to commend our conscience, our ministry, so that we will show the light of Jesus with a clean conscience. Verse 3, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let me repeat this. If the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost. Folks, even if a person is one of the smartest people in the world and they don't know Christ, then they are one of the most stupid people in this world. And I can't say that. Jeff, I'm going to ask you, if you're going to talk, you need to step out in the sanctuary, please. That's all right, brother. Sometimes those things happen. Remember, my mama called me a while back. Y'all remember that? That ain't nothing wrong. Just a call, okay? But I'll just ask, if it does happen and you need to talk, please go out in the lobby. All right, but that's all past now. All right. Now, moving on. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's an interesting word. Many of y'all have compressed your, have given me your condolences about the loss of your mother. But I had a dear friend write me something that gave me comfort in this time. It said, no one is lost if you know where they're at. That was a beautiful sentiment. And how true is that? That gave me comfort. But folks, when someone won't even admit that they're lost, when they know they're lost, that's a different story. So many of around us, so many of our family members, so many of our friends, our community, think they don't need God. Well, I almost needed Him right then. But come funeral time, come heartache time, come all the world is crashing around me time, where am I going to turn to? Well, if you're lost, you turn to yourself. How's that worked out for a lot of people? If you're in a dark place, you move toward the light. Now, whether that light be the light that you see burning or the reflection of the light, it is still the light that you move forward. Verse 4, because these that are lost, he's talking about, in whom the God of this world, who is the God of this world? Well, it's so easily to say the devil, Satan, the enemy, but I would argue not him alone. Sometimes we ourselves are our own gods. Now, that automatically puts us in his camp. But, you know, there are a lot of people who won't believe in God and they won't believe in Satan either. And they're, I'm my own person. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Guess what, folks? Leather that is rotten will come apart. And you cannot pull yourself up by bootstraps that come unhitched. You've got to be able to see in order to do these things. Now, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not? So who is blinded? Those who believe not. Those who are dark in their sin. Those who are in that dark, pitch black place in life. Standing on the edge of the pit. Why is this? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the devil blinds people so that they won't see the light that is Jesus Christ, the very image. And folks, when you study the Greek, that word image is not just a copy, is not just a reflection. It means not the exact same of essence, of substance, of personhood, of everything. Jesus Christ is God the Son. Never forget that. And it said, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them. The devil's doing everything in his power to keep the light away. For even a spark, when you are in pitch blackness, even a spark is identifiable. And if that light comes into the life of that person who is in darkness and they respond to it, oh, the miracle that God wrought in that life. Verse 5, going back to again, Paul and Christians. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the text. Think about all the things that was just said. People who are Christian, us, we preach not us. We don't say, look how good we are. Folks, there's things I don't want y'all finding about that are between me and God. And I think everybody that out there can say the same thing. There's things that we don't want public knowledge that has happened in the past or we've done to folks, things done to us. What we preach is not us. That's why we are not the light. John the Baptist said, I am not he that is to come. I am the forerunner. We are the mirrors that reflect the light of Christ to this dark and dying world. Folks, that sounds religious-y, and it sounds cliche, but it's the cotton-picking truth. We are to reflect Jesus Christ to all those around us, our closest relatives, our friends, our schoolmates, everybody, to see that we are Christians. I don't know who it was. Might have been Billy Graham. Might have been Paul Harvey. I can't remember. But it said, if someone accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence for your conviction? It's hard to say. You look around us and you see on TV and you see all kind of things that people that claim to be Christians and stuff, and it was interesting. Some of y'all saw Jimmy Carter's funeral this past week. And I'm not going to get political. I believe that Jimmy Carter was a good man, but a lousy politician. Okay? But they were, to some extent, preaching Christ at his funeral. But it amazed me that there were people inside that church that would have no problem at all with immorality or murder. And yet they claim to be Christian. Folks, you are what you do. Okay? I like the old saying we had when I was in elementary school when they were teaching nutrition, you are what you eat. That would make me a giant barbecue sandwich, but that's another story. Okay? You are what you do. If you are reflecting the light of Christ as a Christian, people will know that you are a Christian. But if you are reflecting the world, if you are reflecting the darkness, what does that make you? It makes you the reflection of evil. And when people see you, they don't think the good things you do. They think the evil that you do. We can't do that, folks, as a church. We must reflect the light of Christ. Now, I'm going to break the text up into quickly three different sets. Let's go back to the beginning. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We, the followers of Jesus Christ, each have a ministry. Now this ministry has given to us in His mercy in such a way that we can get it done to His glory and praise. We as Christians should have given up all the dishonest and vain things that pull us away from God, including try to manipulate His Word to suit our own flesh. Folks, there are entire denominations that are falling apart because they have chosen to try to make the Word of God fit a worldly and sinful lifestyle. And whether it be homosexuality, or whether it be abortion, or whether it be whatever it may be. Perverting the Word of God is the greatest sin they have. Rejecting what God says is right or wrong. And they're wondering, why are they falling apart? Why are people leaving them? Because they have made the things of this world. They reflect the things of this world instead of the truth of the glorious nature of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I can't throw stones. Because individually, we all sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. Even after we become Christians, we still mess up. Some of us more frequently than others, but mess up nonetheless. But you see, because of the truth and the light of the gospel, we can see where to go to repent. And God, who is great in mercy, forgives us, and we get right back on the path. We get right back on the way, doing all the things that God has called us to do. In other words, being a Christian does not give us license to do evil. Oh, we're forgiven. We don't have to worry about it. Yes, you do, because Jesus said, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Can we be perfect? No, that's where He steps in. And before God Almighty, His blood covers and takes away our sin. Amen? And in seeing that and understanding that, we can reflect His light even greater. The Word of God cannot be changed to fit a fleshly or worldly agenda. Too many have done this. But those that do this, their fall and demise must be a warning to all who try to change God's Word to fit the lie of self and Satan. See, it's not just the devil that's lying to our minds and hearts. It's also ourselves. Because sometimes many of us think that we know better than God. That we know what's going to be best for everybody else. Folks, you have to reflect the light you are given. When you're standing before a mirror in darkness and you strike a match, what's going to reflect that match? If you turn on a Rayovac battery-powered flashlight, what's it going to reflect, that flashlight? If you put a lighthouse beam on that mirror, which they do in lighthouses, that light can be seen many, many miles out at sea. Folks, let's keep reading. This ministry sends us to those who are blind. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This principle is very simple. Those who do not see the truth or will not see the truth are blinded by he whom the world follows, the God of this world. You see, that some people say, well, God's the God of everything. Yes, He is. But He has given the sinful world over to be ruled by the God of this world. Because people have to make a choice. If God did not give us a choice, we would be nothing but robots. I don't like machinery, folks. Robots scare me. Okay? I don't go to the self-checkout at Walmart unless there's no way other way to do it. I like talking with people, interacting with people. I've had people bless me and me bless people standing at the checkout line at Walmart. That's a subject for a whole nother sermon. But I'm going to tell you what. We have to understand that the God of this world works in many different areas. He comes after us in our most weakest point. Folks, the devil is not stupid. Okay? He knows, first of all, who are his, and everybody that's not in Christ is his, period. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care how moral a person you are. If you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are in the camp of Satan. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that the blood of Christ transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's glorious light. Therefore, if you're not in the kingdom of light, if you're not in Christ, you're in the kingdom of darkness. And all your arguing can't get you out. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we cling to that blood. In fact, some of these folks who believe this lie, they actually believe they're serving their idea of a God, but they reject the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the image, that means the very being of God the Father. His light is available to them, but they love darkness rather than light. Why? I once heard a blind person say that they would not want to get their vision, because they had been born blind. And that was what they were used to, because they were accustomed to the darkness. Folks, in sin, we get very comfortable. And I'm not even talking about gross sin, immorality and stuff like that. I'm just talking about the everyday pride. The everyday looking around thinking I'm better than somebody else. Oh, look at them. I know I'm better. You know? Or look at them people up at church. Man, they could be home with kickback and taking it easy, smoking a cigar and watching the ball game. But no, they got to go up there. Why would they want to go up there? Because we know this is where the truth is. Not me, folks. The Word of God. And as we study and practice and enact the Word of God, we reflect more and more of the light to the people that need to see where they're going because they're blind. Well, you shouldn't tell somebody else what to do. I'm not. God is. You got a problem with it, take it up with him. And you will at some point. You see, how can one appreciate light if you've never known it? You know, I can understand the blind person to some extent because I've always been able to see. And so I'm accustomed to being able to see. It is only when I am in darkness that I start stumbling around and falling over things. And the older I get, it seems the more often I'm doing that. Nowadays, it's a little fur ball running around my feet. I get up to go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning, that thing gets under my feet, down I go. And then there goes the cat. No, I don't do that. But anyway. I appreciate the light even more because suddenly the darkness is gone. And a person who is spiritually blind, when the light comes to them and they accept it and they love it, and they thank God for it, they're able to see their way now. But how can they do that unless someone reflects the light? You know, each one of us can trace our spiritual history back to someone who, whether it's a parent or a grandparent or a pastor, who appreciated and loved them enough to share them the truth. And then somebody had to share that truth with them. And somebody had to share that truth with them. And you can go all the way back to the teachings of the 12. I count Paul, not Judas. And then to Christ Himself, and then to God Almighty Himself. Who have shown us the light. Who have shown us the way, the path. Telling us this is right, this is wrong. This is the right way. Walk ye in it. It's out of the book of Isaiah. Amazingly, the heart and mind must be changed to accept the light and live a new life. When Jesus came up to Matthew when he was collecting the taxes, he didn't sit down and have a long conversation with Matthew. He just said, "Follow me." And Matthew made the decision in the moment to get up and follow Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not arguing God didn't know He was going to call him. Of course God did. He knows everything. But Matthew didn't. And Matthew had to make the choice to get up and follow Him. Yes, the Spirit pulled him, but you can resist the Spirit. We know that by the rich young ruler. And if you choose not to follow Christ, then the consequences are darkness. And if you become used to that darkness, you become used to certain things, it's much harder to get back on the right path. Y'all remember back during COVID? We're not talking about weather-related stuff here, so don't miss. It got really easy not to come to church for millions and millions of people. Well, I can stay home watching on the internet. Yeah, but you don't have fellowship. Well, I can listen to it on the radio. But you don't have the interaction with the Word of God that you would from hearing it in person. Folks, last week, I know the weather was bad, but it really broke my heart not to be able to come up here because of the weather. Again, the week before, because I was so tired, Brother Mel filled in, and I thank God I watched him on Facebook, and I really enjoyed the message he had to bring. But a pastor's place is in the pulpit. And when he's not there, he feels it. Your place as followers of Jesus Christ is in the house of God. Sometimes, yes, there's extenuating circumstances, work, vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about on a regular basis so that you can receive the spiritual food that God gives you from His Word. Where you can pay attention, where you can push everything else out. Folks, have y'all ever heard a street preacher? I've heard many street preachers, and God bless them for their ministry. That's not what He's called me to do, but I've heard many to do it. And you're sitting there and you're trying to listen to Him, and what are you hearing? You're hearing hecklers, you're hearing car horns, you're hearing a thousand different distractions that pulls you away from what He's trying to tell you. But yet, even in all that, God can take that word, plant that seed, and draw that person into the kingdom of God. And God bless them for doing that. Because then the blind can see. And I'm speaking truly of spiritual matters as well. Jesus is the light of the world. John 1, 4 and 5. Which gives all men the chance to experience the salvation and glory of God the Father through Him. This is what His disciples, not the 12, us. This is what we must share in this coming year. Because folks, we ain't got that much left. I'm not even talking about Judgment Day or the eschaton or the end times or anything like that. Folks, we aren't promised tomorrow. I'm sure there were people in Southern California that thought they had a wonderful summer to look forward to, and now they have no home. And some of them don't even have a life. I saw people flipped over on the side of the road out here. That may not have been dead, but you know, their whole world was turned upside down, literally. Folks, we're not promised tomorrow. Therefore, we should make do with the time that we have to reflect the light that God has given us all around us. Will it be easy? No. As we've said, men love darkness. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. We will be servants of men in order to show them Christ Jesus. If it means sitting down and having a cup of coffee with them, get it done. If it means taking them in that good old-fashioned Baptist tradition, a casserole, get after it. If it means confronting sin in a loving manner to explain the danger and the salvation offered in Christ, get it done. For that is what we do. We reflect the light. And when that light has come into the life of men, they have life more abundantly. They have a new life. They've been born again. They've been regenerated. Whatever terminology you want to use, you're no longer what you were. Now you are what God has destined you to be. And it may be a life destined for hardship, suffering for the sake of Christ. Or it may be a life of God exalting you to help others with what God has given you. It could be any number of things, because He doesn't call everyone to the same thing except faith in Christ Jesus. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You say, we know the glory of God because we see God in Jesus. There is no other way. I talked about this a couple of Sundays ago when I was here last, about when Jesus went to Lazarus' death and he went to the grave, and on his way, Martha ran into him and he said, your brother will rise again. And she said, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of us all. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 14, when Philip talks to him, he said, Lord, show us the way. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that truth shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehends it not. But if we reflect the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in our words, in our deeds, then others will be able to see by the reflection. Y'all remember the old miner's lamps they used to carry? The old carbide lights. You know, you see them, they had the headband and they had the big thing like that. Sometimes you see them on the... Archie Campbell on Hee Haw used to wear one when he paid the doctor. You know, he had the big old thing and he had the big old reflector with a hole in the middle of it. That is a reflector. It reflected light back onto what they were looking at. The miners were in the pits and that little polished thing would reflect the candle or the carbide light or later on the battery-powered bulb. Those bulbs were tiny. Y'all remember those big old huge square Rayovac, you know, batteries you'd wear on your hip and you go like that, you know? That was for squirrel hunting in the dark. Y'all know that? Coon hunting and stuff like that. That's what we used it for. Spotlighting, in other words. But anyway, I had a guy tell me one time, yeah, I was going out there, it was coon season, but you know, if a deer just happened to walk in front of me, I wouldn't turn it down. Another story. We are to reflect the light so that those in darkness can see their way to the Lord. Now let's go back to the cave that we started in. As you stand there feeling the mist as well as the darkness, they start playing music. It's soft at first. It's soft at first, and it gets bigger and bigger, and it's building to a crescendo. It's filling your ears alongside the sound of that rushing water. And then suddenly the lights explode from behind the water, and the whole cavern is pink and red and in some shades of weird purple. Now that's why they call it Ruby Falls. Believe it or not, that is just plain white light. It's reflecting off the crystals and all the rock formations that give it that pink and red hue. And you're standing there and you're looking up at a waterfall that's about twice as much as our ceiling up there, and it's falling right in front of you into this giant hole that you were only about a foot and a half from. Now, they had safety ropes and stuff, so you wouldn't have tumbled over in there unless you were meaning to. But you suddenly realize that you were only a few inches away from that chasm, that mighty hole, that dangerous. You would have fell wherever that water is flowing. And you would have probably ended up North Georgia sometimes a week later. It is all at once beautiful, amazing, comforting, awe-inspiring, and as far as God's natural wonders, glorious. And while not a perfect example, to me, it's akin to suddenly realizing the majesty and beauty of knowing Jesus Christ. Now, when I saw that, I was not a pastor. I can imagine seeing that now. I encourage you, if you ever get a chance, go see it. But when you are suddenly filled with that awe, think of the glory of God and how much more it will be on that day. You know, one of the most beautiful things about going to my mother's funeral, and like I said, we had 8 preachers there, okay, all family members, was hearing people that were in her Sunday school room telling stories about how that she called and she did all this. You know, I think a very similar situation for Miss Betty. Imagine that first moment when, you know, forget the cartoons, Peter waiting at the, you know, at the lectern by the pearly gates, forget all that. It says if you're out of the body, you're with Christ, if you're in Christ. Imagine that moment. Not even the goodness of seeing your past relatives or your spouses or your grandparents. Forget all that for a moment. It's there. But imagine that moment when you see Christ face to face in all of His glory. And you've seen paintings like this. There's one especially I like. It's called First Day in Heaven. And you can't see Jesus' face, but you see His back, but you see this young lady just grabbing onto Him and hugging Him for everything He's worth. That's the moment. That's the glory. That's the awe. That's everything that we've hoped for wrapped up. And our loved ones that are there now, and we ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, we'll see that, His beauty, His majesty. So now, in 2025, let us reflect that glory, that majesty, that love, that mercy, that forgiveness, so all those around us will not see us, but will see the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Praise Him. Brothers and sisters, the only way we're going to see that light or reflect that light is if we know Him. And it has to be more than just up here. You know, the devil himself and all the demons in hell know God is real and know He exists. And they shudder, the Bible tells us. We got more than that. We need to be in a personal, salvific relationship. What does it take? Faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and ye shall be saved. That's the gospel. It doesn't say, well, if you check off the list or you do all these things or you climb a mountain and pray at the top. None of that. Faith is the victory. And there is no faith outside of belief. Believe the gospel. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John preached. That's what Jesus preached. And that's what we need to live out. Let's stand.